all glory, all honor, all praise. If you've only got one breath left in your body today, if you have no other strength and can do nothing else, how many know it's a good thing to be able to push from your belly one little breath out? And if all you got is one breath, push out a hallelujah, hallelujah. And as you begin to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, as you lift his name up and you magnify him, those other things that have been lifted up in your life, they begin to fall away. And so even for some of us today, we've come in with a heaviness. We've come in with things that are on our minds because we've been lifting those things up. It's those things that have been in the forefront of our minds, those concerns of the world, those cares and those anxieties. But when you begin to say, hallelujah, your breath is only one place to go, and that's up. And so why don't you just say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You won't be put to shame if you offer up a praise, and that's all you got to give. Hallelujah. We give glory and honor to the one who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And the psalmist says, Lord our God, how majestic or how excellent is your name in all the earth. That's who we say hallelujah to, the Lord. You have set your glory in the heavens. Psalm 8, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. It's your praise, church, that creates a stronghold and holds back the enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the psalmist wrote, the works of your fingers, it's the one God who does it, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for us. You have made them a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned them. You've crowned us, Lord, with glory and honor. You made us rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under our feet. Everything, church, tonight is already under your feet. All the flocks and the herds and the wild animals and the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh, Lord, our God, we thank you for another opportunity to come into your house, this place of worship, this house of prayer for all people. Lord God, we know that we don't deserve it, but your blood makes us deserving. Your blood makes us worthy to come before your presence, and for that we are grateful. Now, oh Lord, since we've pushed our way into this place, since we've sacrificed what needed to be sacrificed in order to have this time here with you, please, oh God, show up like you always do and just teach us your word. Give us something to hold on to, oh Lord, that'll go down deep. Help this seed to fall on fertile ground. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 How's everybody? Good. I open up my eyes now and see who's here. Good to see y'all. Oh, thank you. I wasn't even expecting anything back. I appreciate that. All right. So here we are in October. Can you believe it? Actually, almost about halfway through October. What happened to summer? So tonight, and you know, I kind of move around, so I'm going to try to get out your way as much as possible. Tonight, our topic, actually for this month of Bible study, will be obedience. Yay! No, y'all don't mean it. No. Don't sneak out the back, Minister Tamika. Lock the doors, Deacon Lonnie. Lock the doors. Obedience. All right. We thank you, Lord. So let's get started. So as kind of is my custom, I think I'm forming a pattern here. I like to start with some definitions, and that helps us to kind of have a common entrance point into our study for tonight and for the month. So we'll do just that. So I have a definition here, and then after the definition, actually tonight we're going to just kind of lay the foundation for these upcoming the other 3 weeks, so 4 weeks altogether in the rest of this month. And we're going to lay the foundation, just kind of talk about the topic in general, do some definitions, and do some word study. Amen. so that we can kind of really get into understanding the meaning of this word in a number of different ways. And then each week we'll build on that and look at it from a different perspective. And hopefully by the end of the month, in God's faithfulness, he'll give us an even richer understanding of this idea, of this topic, obedience. So beginning with a definition, and this is just from our friends at Google, nothing scientific or overly theological, but obedience is a noun. And if you can't see, I'm going to read as much as possible. Obedience may be defined as compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. Again, obedience may be defined as compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's, like another person, another entity, another something, authority. Okay? But those are the note takers. You got that? All right. So just to kind of break this down again, what I just wanted to do, and on the screen we have that same definition, and I just kind of highlighted a few of the key words that are in there. And what you'll see, there are two words that are in red, and then there are two phrases that are in blue. And what you'll notice is that they kind of match up together, right, from our definition from Google. So it says, again, compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. What I want us to notice in these two parts is that what's similar is compliance and submission, right? Everybody see that? So if you think about two sides of a piece of paper, compliance and submission would kind of go together in this definition on one side. So that's the part that the person, the obedient one, is doing, is being compliant, being submissive. And then, so what are we compliant and submissive to? On the other side are the words that are in blue: order, orders, requests, law, right, and authority. So when we kind of break it down visually like that, you kind of get to see the role of the one that is the obedient and what the obedient one is responding to or obedient to. So I got lost in the internet, and so I just kind of went a little farther into the defining of it, really trying to understand. Okay, it's always helpful for us to find other words that have similar or like meaning so that we can flip the switch in our brain to kind of know, okay, yes, I got it now. So on the one side, our friend with the thumbs up, those are synonyms. And if we flash back 2 or 3 years to when we were in grade school, we remember that synonyms are words, that was a joke, y'all. Synonyms are words that are similar, right? It's okay to laugh in sanctuary. And then on the other side, we have antonyms, which are the opposites. So on the left side, excuse me, we have words that are similar. Compliance, submission, those two are actually in our definition. Something also similar to obedience, subordination. Subordination, in the beginning of that word, sub meaning under. Y'all still with me? Didn't get to preach on praise, Reverend Pfeiffer. Also, duty. These are all similar and defining words for obedience. Deference. And I've seen deference expressed. Sometimes I'll see it when someone comes in a room, and depending on who the person is, if you like them or not, if you respect them or not, you might tip your hat, you might nod, you might bow. That's an indication of deference, of showing that you are humbling yourself to the person. And we don't do that with everybody. We just tend to do it with those people that we think are worthy of that, right? And the last one there is conformity, meaning to fit into something like a mold. On the other side, just so happens to be that the list is a little bit longer for us. And these are terms or words that help us to think about that are opposite from obedience, opposites of obedience. So not obedient, right? Contrariness, right? Being just opposite. The sky is red, no, the sky is blue. It's hot, no, it's cold. You know, so just oppositional in a way, contrary. Defiance, no, and I'm not. And nothing you can say or do is going to make me. Disobedience, insubordination, so the opposite of subordination, not coming under. Intractability, I had to look that one up. It's like a resistance to everything, pushing back. Noncompliance, rebelliousness, that's one we see a lot in scripture. Self-will, meaning every impulse, every response comes out of self, right? Unruliness, waywardness, and willfulness. So that's just to kind of further push for us to paint an even better picture of this idea of obedience and what some words that we might use to describe the opposite of that. Okay. Y'all like, when is she going to get to a scripture? This is Bible study. The Lord gives us a wealth of information and knowledge that helps us in to better understand what it is he's teaching. And so let's just do that. Let's go to scripture. So we know that Jesus is our model for living, right? Jesus, his life, his call, his ministry, his words, his teaching, his behaviors, his responses, all of it helps us to know how we ought to live. He ought to be the template or the example for us in what we do, what we say, how we think. You know, we're growing so that this mind that is in us would become like the mind of Christ Jesus, right? So in this area, it's no different. So in terms of the obedience, the living an obedient life, understanding what obedience means, we can see Jesus' life even as a model for that. And so the scripture that we have up here is Philippians chapter 2. So if you're not already there, if you join me there. Philippians chapter 2. And I'll read the first 11 verses, and we may go down to 18. And I'll be reading from the NIV. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start reading at verse 1. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, not selfishness, right? Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so let me pause here just to say that this is Paul's encouragement, not to unbelievers, right? But he's speaking to us, to the church. He's speaking, writing to this faithful group of believers who were, in fact, very faithful Christians and growing in their faith. But they, like us, were encountering challenges in the everyday living of life. They encountered opposition. And so what Paul is saying to them is, I know that you have made this commitment to follow Christ. And I understand that times are sometimes rough for us. But what I want to encourage you to do is to continue in that. And not only so, but you've got to persevere to the point of following the example of Christ, who was obedient. He didn't call on who he knew. He didn't get himself out of the sticky situation before it was time. But he humbled himself and made himself as of no reputation and was obedient to the call, even unto the point of death. And so Paul is leaving us with this same encouragement. He humbled himself. Subordination, humility, all of those things that we talked about, which are synonyms for obedient. And just for extra fun, let's just read 12 through 18 to really make us encouraged. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Is that us? Are we obeying just in the presence of the pastor or in our daily living? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Your obedience, church, is not about you only, right? But as we are here representing the Lord, as Jesus was, it's the Lord that works through us. And so our obedience is for a purpose that is much greater and much higher than we. 14, do everything. I love when scripture just tells me I have to do it always and everything. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And so even in the midst of our sufferings, even in the midst of being poured out, scripture says, like a drink offering, offered up in the midst of this generation, we can be encouraged to know that if we remain faithful to God, he will continue to use and work through us. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's a part of the obedient life. Not just what the end response is, but how do we get to the yes? Okay. So let's go here. Obedience is an act of faith. Obedience is an act of faith. And so this month, I want us to try to stretch our understanding, our minds, and wrap it around this idea that it's not just about doing, right? And so some of what we're going to read tonight will help to affirm for us that it's not about works. That's not the foundation of the obedient life. But it's really an activity in faith. It's an act of faith. It's not just about good deeds. We're not obedient because we're just doing things that seem to be right. But our faith, our life as a believer, our Christian faith is based on our acceptance of the blood of Jesus. And that is an act of faith. It was not the law that saved us. It was not the regulations. It was not any thing that, you know, that the leaders of a church read that made you saved, but it was the belief, it was the faith that you had in Christ Jesus. And that grace only comes through Jesus. And it's the same with obedience. We cannot be obedient in and of ourselves. There's no amount of good deeds that you can do that will make you become a more obedient person. But it's a faith walk. It's a journey of faith and trusting in the Lord that helps us to live an obedient life. Let me show you what I mean. So in Galatians chapter 3. And this is, again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church, helping them to remember how it was that they came to know Jesus, helping them to be reminded that it was nothing that they did. It wasn't about following a script of rules. It wasn't about adhering to certain policies, but it was really about their faith investment in Jesus and following Jesus. It's by faith that we live a life of obedience. The Lord's ways, church, are revealed to us by his Spirit, by his word. And it's only by the Spirit that we're even given access to know how to be obedient, to know what it is the Lord expects of us. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's tricked you? Who told you to lie and you believed it? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, so again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard? So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then, verse 7, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance of Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So how was it that we came to know Christ Jesus? Was it through the law? No, but it was through the Spirit of God. God presented himself, made himself known, and by his Spirit living on the inside, is that's the only way that we can know him. And so our faith and belief in the Lord is the only way that we can move through this life. And it's the only way that we can live a life of obedience. We can't think through it. We can't figure it out. We can't ration it. It's not based on what they taught us growing up or what he said or how we've always been doing it. But it's by faith through the Holy Spirit that we learn what it is to be an obedient believer. And so what we read just now in Galatians, if you heard it a number of times, the apostle said, remember what you learned. And he said, remember what you heard. So a lot of this for us is remembering, how do we first come to know Christ? And what is it that he has been teaching us all along? What is it that we have been hearing so that we can learn how to be obedient? And so not only is obedience really an act of faith and not our goodwill and not our knowing how to do something, knowing what to do and what not to do, but it's also an act of obedience. Obedience comes through our faith, which we know Scripture tells us comes by hearing. And so I just have a few examples of how this works, where we hear, and then the Spirit teaches us what we ought to do, and then we are to be obedient, and then we can respond in obedience. The first one that's up here is Exodus chapter 24. Verse 7. Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. And it's just one verse. And it speaks of the children of Israel, again, in this process. We hear God's word. The Spirit gives us instruction through it, teaches us what we may do, what we may not do, how we ought to live and move. And then we have the opportunity to respond to it in obedience. So Exodus chapter 24, verse 7 simply says, "Then he took the book of the covenant, which was the book of the law, which was the word of revealed to them from God, and read it to the people." So they did what? Right. They heard it, and then the next part says they responded. Sometimes for us, that's the biggest disconnect. Right? Moses gets up with the tablets that have come down from on high and reads them to the people, and then it ends there. Sometimes for us, that's the challenge. We hear the word. The Lord speaks to us, reveals it through written scripture, reveals it through spoken encouragement, reveals it by his spirit, right? And then we hear the word, and then the scripture ends there. So what it is that Exodus says is, he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. Faith comes by hearing. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." And really, that's the first step. We hear it. We receive the word. The Spirit interprets it for us. What does this mean for us, Lord? What is it that you would have us to do? We then have an opportunity to respond. We can leave it there. We can take it up and say, "Lord, thank you. We will do what you have said. We will obey." But how many know there's a step after that? We have to actually obey and do what it is the Lord has given for us to do. Another little passage there that relates to Israel is in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm actually going to start at and read 11 through 14, verses 11 through 14. Faith comes by hearing. We have access to the word, to God's voice. The Spirit helps us to know what it is God expects for us to do, how to live. We have an opportunity to respond, that we will be obedient, and then we have an opportunity to actually be obedient. In this passage of scripture, the Lord is speaking to his people, and they're in a bit of a trouble. They have not been obedient, and so he's working with them as he works with us over and over again to try to draw them back to himself. God is so faithful to us, church. Over and over again, even in the midst of our disobedience, even though we said in Exodus, "Oh Lord, we will do everything that you have said, we will obey," and then not too long later, we find ourselves not being obedient, but the Lord God, he still draws us back to himself. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 through 14 says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it so that we may obey it?'" Y'all know we get like that sometimes. "Well, Lord, your ways are so high, I cannot attain unto them." And all he told you to do was go down the street and speak to your neighbor. But, you know, you made it so complicated. And the Lord is saying, it's not that deep. I just told you to be nice and be kind. We did this a long time ago. This is not new. And so he's saying in 12, it's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, "Who will ascend into heaven? I need a minister and a priest and a deacon and everybody to come over and to lay hands and pray." And the Lord says, I've already told you what to do. Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? 13, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, "Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?" No, the word, don't you love scripture? The word is very near you. In fact, it is in your mouth because you're telling everybody else. And it's in your heart because you feel the conviction, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit, so you may obey it. Doesn't that just kind of get us? Yeah. So faith comes by hearing, and the Lord is saying, if you are my child, what good parent turns their back and does not give their child instruction? And so I am still speaking to you if you will only have ears to hear. And so it's through faith in the Lord that we are able to access exactly how it is that he would have us to live. And it's not so far out that we can't grasp hold of it. And then one more in this area that faith comes by hearing is Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Back to Galatians. And it just says again, I would like to learn one thing from you. This is the question that he's asking the church. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? And again, for many of us in times in our lives of stress or trauma or fatigue, that's really the essential part of it, is believing what we've already heard. Now, what I want you to know is there's a word up there, P-I-S-T-A-S. P-I-S-T-A-S. And when it says believing what you heard, that word is Greek, pistis. It doesn't mean when the Lord tells you something, you decide that it makes sense. That's not what that believing means. It's not the kind of believing that means you get convinced of what it is that you heard. It's not the kind of believing that means, yeah, you know, I believe that, so I'll do it. The word for believing in that verse, pistis, it doesn't imply that you could even explain it to somebody. It's not that kind of belief. It's not a brain thing that we do. You know, I'll believe it when I see it, or I'll believe it so I'll do it, or I'm in agreement with it. That's not what it's saying here in Galatians. That little word makes a difference. But what it simply means is that I trust and I have faith. And that's it. It's what the world will call, and we'll talk about that, this foolish, blind trust. It doesn't mean I believe it because I can make sense of it, because I think it's going to work out for me, because I know, because they said, none of those things. What that one word there, or by believing what you heard, means when you heard that word, the Spirit in your heart, the Spirit of the living God, spoke to the unknown parts of you, and you were activated to do what God said do, just because of who God is. Just because of who God is. And that's a challenge for us, and that's what we're growing toward. It doesn't mean you don't have questions. It doesn't mean you can't ask God questions. We are mature in our faith, and we know that we can be in conversation, but it means the response of obedience without grumbling or murmuring happens because we believe what we heard. We just believe it. God said, we just believe it. And people make fun of that today. Oh, y'all just believe whatever God, yes. And so in our faith, we grow to the point of, as Galatians says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? There was nothing that you could do, because if it depended on us making sense of it, we would still be out of faith. But it was because in that instance, the Spirit arrested you in such a way that you had no way, all I know is. And it's that kind of response on the inside that gets us to live the obedient life every time, every time, every time. Okay. So we hear. And it's not just a physical hearing from our ears, right? But we listen with our heart and listening in an active way. We're pursuing to hear God's voice. That's why you're here tonight, because you're pursuing to hear from God. So we listen with our ears, we listen with our hearts, and that allows us by the Spirit to be able to obey the Lord. Let's take a music break if this works. I think so. Okay, I'll keep going then. Okay, so we have this foundation. We have these definitions. We kind of understand what it means, obedience, what it looks like, the opposite of that, how we can even begin to think that we as broken vessels can live an obedient life. And we're grateful to know that God presents us with opportunities over and over to show us his word, to show us his way. And if we would only listen and reach out to attain it, that through the Spirit, he can teach us what it means to be obedient. So let's talk a little bit about somewhat of a transition here. How is this idea of obedience looked at? We talked a little bit about how the world might think of us saying, yes, God, whatever you say. I don't understand it. I don't know it. But yes, because of who you are, I say yes. So let's talk about that a little bit more, about how the culture in which we live, or how culture over time has thought about this way of obedience. Because y'all know we are saved, but we still live in earth, right? We still live in a culture. We still live among people. We still live among language. And so all of those things we ought to be aware of and recognize the places where the culture has one understanding of what it means to be obedient, and think about how we might be challenged to think differently, or what we think the same. So the first little thing I have up here on the screen, I think that's big enough. You don't even have to see any words, but this is about obedience and culture. So this is from googlebooks.com, and it's a little chart that just shows you the amount of times that this idea or this word has appeared when people search for obedience in books, right? So if we don't know anything about numbers or what it says on there, the farthest side says in the 1800s, right? And then they get to the end and it says 2010. If you can't see anything else, does the line go down or up? Down. So are we more concerned, interested, looking for words or books or things where we would find the word obedience, or less? Less so, right? So that's just a little bit of a alert to kind of show us how, as a community of human people created, that we are in some ways moving away from an interest even in this idea of obedience. And y'all know that that's true, right? So psychologists are fascinated with this idea about humans, and they ask questions like, can humans be obedient? Should people be obedient? They look and I read some things where they are looking at people to say things like, well, what is it that makes a person tend to be more obedient to whomever? And they come up with things like, well, maybe it's their personality. You know how we say, well, that's just not me. Yeah, y'all too, us too, we too. So they think about things like that. Maybe it's their personality that determines whether or not a person will be more interested in being obedient. Sometimes they're looking at studies and doing things to see life experience, like how you grew up and how that impacted how you respond to people now, right? We talk about generational differences where, you know, it's always the younger generations that we say are not as obedient, and I'm sure previous generations said the same thing about us. So it's that ongoing kind of thing, life experience. A person's social status or authority level in their community. So if you are a person of authority, or you have a badge, or you have a label, how do you respond to opportunities to be obedient? It might be different than someone who is considered a different economic level, right? So all of these things they think about and they're researching to see, what is it about us? Are there certain things that make some people just more compliant? Are there some things that make people say yes to everything? Are there certain things inside of us that make people, some people just say that they're rebelling against everything? And for many of us, I think for many of us, we will be comfortable saying that it's based on the situation. How many people would say that? That's a safe place to land, right? It depends. That's what we would say. It depends on who's asking. Mm-hmm. Confession time. It depends on, get them, Jesus, what they're asking me to do, right? It depends on how I'm feeling on that day. Mm-hmm. Situational. It depends. And so for some of us, just hearing the word obedient when we first started the study a little while ago, some of us got knots in our stomach in the very beginning when we saw the word obedient go up. It triggered some stuff. And then there are other people who kind of check out, you know, because that doesn't apply to me. And then for some of us, it may come in a little bit differently. But that's just to know that all of us have different experiences and will come to this in different ways. Right? Okay. So just a few images. Right? For the folks that got knots in their stomachs when somebody said obedient, these are just some images that flashed. You didn't even subconsciously know that you were thinking like this, but this was some of the stuff that when you said, she's not talking to me. So these were just some images that I found where people were talking about obedience. So the one in the top left corner is what obedience means. And in our culture, obedience means you're following somebody and you're going to follow them right off the edge of a cliff. Y'all go ahead down there with all that obedience. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be obediently off the edge. And then for some of us, obedience, I ain't no dog. Right? Tell me what to do. I'm a grown person. Okay. Down here on the bottom right is an image. And it appears as if there are two images of humans. The one on the right appears to be a female person. We'll make assumptions. Maybe a wife, a woman, we don't know. And the person on the left is in a position of subordination. And it looks like a credit card. If you can't see, it's pretty far away that he's holding up an offering to her, right? So for some of us, when we hear obedience in our culture, and even apparently in this room, because we're in the world, we're not of it. However, we are still informed and socialized and exposed to these ideas. And sometimes they seep in. Sometimes we haven't had a chance to get them all out. But it appears that this young man, this brother has decided that his obedient response will be to offer this woman his credit card. And then on the far bottom, the far left, there's an image of what looks to be a drill sergeant and a person in the military. And for some of us, that's when we hear obedience. That's what we think of. Someone's ordering me around. And based on who they are, who I am, is how I'll determine how I respond, right? Okay, good. So we're thinking about obedience as it works out in our culture, in our social environment. And you do know that there are ways that we have learned since we were born about what it means to be obedient, right? You know that we have been taught all along the way about what it means to be obedient, how we ought to respond to people, how we ought to know what to say and what to do, how we ought to know how to behave depending on who the person is, where we are. You know, we've gotten those lessons over our lives, whether we know it or not. And what that's called is socialization. You've been socialized. You know that, right? Go on and admit it. We all have. Unless you live isolated where it's just you, than you have been socialized, because you're exposed to so many different things and so many different voices. So how can we build this month on unpacking what it is the Lord says about being obedient, living an obedient life, unless we first deal with the fact that we've got a lot of messages already? We do. We have understandings about what it means to be obedient that are deep inside, some not so deep. And we have ways that we handle this idea already. And so what we're doing this first week is just trying to figure out, well, how did I respond when I saw that picture? How did I feel when she started talking about obedience? Did it make me cringe and already want to hurt somebody? What flashback, what experience came up for me? And so we are all taught over the course of our lifetime and impacted and bombarded with all kinds of ideas. And here are some of the sources of our socialization. Here are some of the places where we get our information from. Our first place is where? Where's the first place we learn about this stuff? In family. You don't call her by her first name, right? See? Whoever it is. And so I'm saying that there are things that you hear even as a small child that are teaching you about what it means when I say it the first time, about what it means the way you respond, about what it means to not do it grudgingly, but to put it. So all of these things we learn. So our families are some of the first places that we learn. Where's another early place that we learn about what it means to be obedient, right, in school? That's right. Who was at the front of the class? Mm-hmm. Who was in charge of the class? Right. So nobody really had to say that to you in so many terms. But you're socialized, you learn. And you learn that when you're obedient to the one who's in charge, the authority figure, then you're rewarded. And what happens when you're disobedient to the person in charge? Right. You face some kind of penalty or punishment. So all of these things are deeply embedded in us. And through the years, we begin to form our own understandings about what it means to be obedient, what means to be disobedient, what happens when you're obedient, what happens when, and then we start to, as we grow older and become adults, to even to formulate for ourselves, well, what is it that is obedience? And it gets complicated from there. And so here we have peers and friends, right? You know how they told you what you could and couldn't get away with. Our religious convictions, even as we're speaking about it now, not everyone has the same understanding about what obedience is, right? And so we've got to know, even as we are encountering other people in the world, in our culture, that not everyone is coming from the same perspective. Not everyone has the same foundation. Not everyone is going to read Galatians and say, oh, all I have to do is believe, which means to have trust and faith, and then I respond to that. So we've got to be able to expand our minds enough, at least to know, to be aware of these things. We also are socialized or taught or impacted by the media and images, right? We all had a response in one way or another to those pictures that we saw. And so think about how many, I don't know how many thousands of images we see in one day. We don't even know it. We don't even consciously think about it anymore, but it's so fast. Think about our children, the lessons that they're getting without even any words being articulated. So all over the time, and our jobs, our work, similar to that of school and groups. An example would be like when we saw the drill sergeant and the soldier. So in the military, there's a process that you go through, right? How many people have experience with that? There's a process before you get to the point of which you are given any kind of ability to act, where you learn how to be obedient for the safety of yourself, for the safety of others, but there's a process through which you are socialized so that you can become a part of the group, so that you can be conformed to the group and not be rebellious, okay? Okay. We'll do a little bit of this, and then we'll pick this up on the next time. I just want to give you some more kind of word study stuff. In the Bible, in Scripture, this word obedience appears 38 times. Not 3,800? No, 38. I thought more. And that's true across those three versions that I have there, which is King James, NIV, and New Revised Standard Version. 38 times. 38 times the word appears. And because as Minister Lingham says, when you go to seminary, you got to use that stuff that you learn, right, to get your money's worth. There are, in those 38 times, 8 different forms of the word obedience, which means 8 different words to mean the same thing. So when we read it in English, we read it as obedience. But there are 8 different ways that that's expressed in Scripture, which means when you read it, you've got to be able to do a little bit of word work, which will help you to know the meaning even better. One website, if you've not had a chance to use it before, because we're all students and learning and growing together, is Blue Letter Bible. Anybody ever use that? BlueLetterBible.org. If you haven't, you can do it on your phone. You can do it on your tablet. Blue, it's all one word, Blue Letter Bible. And I think it's .org. I don't think it's .com. And that's a place where you can put in a scripture verse, and it allows you to do all kinds of little fun things, which allows you to see what the writer meant, what was the original meaning. And that's all that that means. But I wanted to show you that there were two of these out of the 8 forms for the word obedience that are used the most. Out of all of those 38, one of them was used 19 times out of the 38, and that's the word derech. That's Hebrew. And then the other one was used 8 times. And that was hupakeia. Nope. Hupakoe. Yes. Hupakoe. No, there's no test. You don't have to write this down. It's not for rice. I felt the rice sweat coming across the room. But there's a reason why I wanted to point out. So the two most used times of this word obedience in Scripture, two different words. This was the most used one. Derech. And what it means, yes, it means obedience, but deep down when we look at the meaning of the word, it really means like a road or a course in life or a path, like a way. How does that work, Minister D? You mean obedience means like a path, a course, a way? Like for me to get from this part of the sanctuary to the back, I got to go down between the pews. That means obedience? Yes, this verse that's here helps us to understand that. Deuteronomy 5:33. Deuteronomy 5:33. And I'll read it for you. It's up here on the screen. It says, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Walk in obedience, or in the original is walk in derech. So what does that mean then, that the Lord is saying to us 19 out of those 38 times, he's telling us to do what? Walk in the way, right? Not whichever way you feel like it today, but walk in the path. Walk on the way that I have set up for you. And that's what obedience is. God has already carved out a path for us. And by his Spirit, he's given us what we need in order to walk it. So what obedience is walking in the way. Walking in the way. And there's the reference again, that this is blueletterbible.org. Isn't that amazing? God just wants us to follow the path that he's created for us. That's what our obedience is. And we'll end with this, the second one. Hupakoe. It appears 8 times. And it's the word that we would read it in English in our Bible says obedience. But what it really means is attentive listening. Attentive listening. So in one way, obedience is following in the way, walking the path. And then obedience in these verses means listening. Attentive listening. Obedience is an act of faith. And faith comes by. And so if we want the Spirit to be able to speak to us so that we can walk in the way, then we've got to be obedient. We've got to be attentively listening. Romans 1:5, though through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. To call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith, to the listening attentively for his way that comes from faith. It comes from faith. Through our faithful living, then we are able to have access to what it is that the Lord has for us to do. And then Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteousness. Through the listening, through his connection, his relationship with the Lord God, the obedience of Christ Jesus gave us access to righteousness. What is it that can happen to those who are around you, to those who are not born yet, if you would respond in obedience, attentively listening, following in the way, the path that the Lord has? Our obedience extends far beyond just us. The implications of it are broader than we can ever see and that we will see. It goes beyond this present generation. So will we be obedient, which means more than just doing something, but it's about living a life where we are following him along the way, where we are listening to what it is that the Lord has to say to us. And we will, I think we'll deal with this one next week.